I'm on the phone today with Howie Jacobson, a customer, potential customer of mine. And Howie, thanks for letting me record this.
No, my pleasure.
Howie lives in Durham, North Carolina. And so I've put Durham, NC into Google. And some web pages come up, and I'm looking. I'm going to try to find your water quality report. And hopefully do it rather quickly. Something about water supply status. A lot of times these are hard to find. Water quality. So I like to look at these a little bit. The city of Durham is dedicated to providing high-quality drinking water.
Oh, then I guess I don't need anything, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Just wish it tasted better.
And then we'll look, and here's some links. View the annual water quality report. One of the reasons I read this, it's often just generic language. But sometimes you'll pick up some subtle warnings about people with immune deficiencies or other issues not, you know, supposed to be reading the water or drinking the water. And so you want to read into that a little bit and see what sort of issue that might be. And I've got the water quality report up now.
Okay. The tap into quality?
Yeah, note the subtitle, A Year of Contradictions. That's interesting. So, two rivers, Lake Michi, is that?
Yeah.
And Little River at full status. I guess that means that they were full of water. The reason, surface water is subject to things like herbicide and pesticide runoff. There may be plants, industries along the way that dump things in to the river. Anybody actually can dump anything, you know, back up a pickup. It's interesting, a lot of times, people, the mindset is that water is a way to carry waste away from where they live. And they don't think about people living downstream. And then there are also the issues like cryptosporidium. I'm on page 4 of your report now. There's special concerns about immunocompromised persons. Cryptosporidium, which is a microbial parasite, and let's see, it sounds like they're starting to analyze, but they're not highlighting any particular problem. That little protozoa actually caused a lot of problems for the city of Milwaukee a number of years ago. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
Over 400,000 people became ill and some died when the city's water, which is Lake Michigan, became contaminated. Okay, now I'm down to page 6 where we're actually able to look at your water quality results. So fluoride, 0.99 is the level in your water. They're adding fluoride to promote dental health. That's something that I really don't comment on much. It's your call as to whether you would like to leave it in or remove it. The data suggests to me that it's good for young adults or children who just, you know, have their newly have their adult teeth until those teeth are formed, and there may in fact be detrimental for younger children, and certainly causes bone loss in older individuals. So as we age, fluoride is less desirable.
Okay. So what's a cutoff point, or at what age kid would you say get rid of the fluoride?
I think probably by 15, 16, they're done.
Okay.
This level, 0.99, is not bad. If it were higher, when I see it at 1.5 or 2, then I'd like to see it reduced. The next list, the next contaminant on the list is nitrates, 0.38. That's pretty acceptable, really. Turbidity, 0.1. Turbidity is dirt. A lot of people don't realize it, but cities deliver a lot of dirt to in the water system. It's kind of inevitable.
Okay. Now, let me step back for a minute and ask you, what are the chances that these numbers are truthful and accurate?
It's my sense that if you have city water, that these reports are very reliable.
Okay.
Some cities have been caught. New York City, there was a fellow caught faking the results. But, I mean, the good thing about that is that he was caught. And then an enforcement action was taken. So, these are good sources. If you live in the city, this is the thing to look at. What this will list is violations to the regulated contaminants. Now, the latest nuance, if you will, to the water, the world of water, is the unregulated contaminants. And again, surface water sources are much more subject to contamination by unregulated contaminants. That includes things like if there are cities on these rivers that are upstream of you, then that would mean that there'd be pharmaceuticals in the water from sewage treatment plants. Anything, basically anything that people consume and goes through the body comes out, goes into the water, moves downstream, is not removed by traditional sewage treatment plants. Those treatment plants are designed to remove fecal material and bacteria. And so there's a whole emerging issue, the notion of toxic soup, the notion of numerous unregulated chemicals downstream of the city of Denver and the Platte River. They found over 60 unregulated chemicals in quantities that are measurable. So if you live downstream of Denver, those are in your water supply intake.
Okay. Does anybody test and publish those results for Durham?
No, that's a new, just in the last 3 or 4 years, this is a new emerging issue. No one's sure yet what impact they have on people, whether the very small quantities are an issue at all, although I think that they are. And of course, different chemicals are going to have different impacts.
All right. Well, I've been reading about atrazine.
Well, atrazine is one of the ones that's regulated.
Okay.
So if it's in here, we'll see it. So let's keep moving.
Okay.
Turbidity, again, that's dirt. The reason that that's important is that any equipment we put in, this turbidity level is pretty low, but we want to make sure we protect the equipment from dirt so that it doesn't plug up right away. And then you have some alpha and beta photon emitters listed. and analyzed, but it says none detected. That's good. That's radioactive material. So they're not finding any in your water, and often those are found either from human or natural sources in very low levels. These two, copper and lead, those typically are not actually water treatment samples. They actually go to people's homes and take a sample. So that's something you have to think about. If you live in an older home, a historic home, there could very well be lead, solder in the home.
Yeah, now ours was built like 8 years ago.
Yeah, so you should be in good shape. Now here's a troublesome chemical, and the reason that your water tastes so bad. Chloramines. At 2.8, running annual average, that's extremely high. I don't know why North Carolina cities do this, but I've noticed it there before. Chloramines are much more powerful than chlorine, also much more difficult to remove. Traditional carbon filters that will remove chlorine will not remove chloramine.
Huh.
And so we have to use, in that instance, another product called a catalytic carbon.
Is there a marker for chloramine? Like, you know, chlorine, you can smell it. But if you have a filter, like a regular, you know, Home Depot filter, and your water tastes fine, does that mean it's gotten out the chloramines? Or could you have chloramines in and still not taste it?
Right. It could mean you don't have very well-developed taste buds.
Okay.
Tends to be some women are more discerning than men in this instance. You know, I've had two people taste the same water. The guy is telling me, hey, this is fine, but my wife's not happy.
Well, my daughter this morning said, hey, when are we going to get a new filter? I was like, this stuff is disgusting. I'm like, really? I just let it sit, and it seems okay to me.
Yeah, well, and you need catalytic carbon, and what I use is a combination of KDF, which is high purity copper and zinc. That in solution is very effective at eliminating chlorine. I use that in combination with a catalytic carbon. And you're not going to find catalytic carbon at Home Depot or Kmart or Walmart. And none of the big companies that are selling you the inexpensive little systems that you buy in those stores, none of them have catalytic carbon. So what I do is I specify, you know, now since you have chloramines, we're looking at one of my custom systems, and where I can specify that we use a catalytic carbon for removal. And your water, we can make your water awesome. And you have not only chloramine, but chlorine at very high levels. This is the reason your water tastes bad right here. Total coliform bacteria is next. None detected. You know, it's probably because there's so much chlorine and chloramine in the water. Oftentimes people will ask me if they have city water, should they worry about bacteria? And my answer is generally no. It really depends, because city systems fail and you can get infected water. And the city will send out notices. Generally it's after the fact. You could already be sick. But for the most part, the city's efforts are entirely focused on removing those. And so my position is you don't really need protection from bacteria or viruses if you're confident that your city is well managed and doing their best. Now these next two, the haloacetic acids and the trihalomethanes,
yeah,
These are known carcinogens. These are a result of chlorine interacting with organic material. These were discovered in about 1997. It was discovered that these were byproducts of chlorination and were the culprits behind chlorinated water being carcinogenic.
Now, it says here that for the haloacetic acids, the maximum level allowed is 60, and that for trihalomethanes, it's 80. Who came up with those numbers, and what do they mean? Who decided that that was a safe cutoff?
Those numbers are generated by EPA, U.S. EPA. Those are national numbers. And it starts out with a group of scientists who are, in my opinion, well-intentioned, and they make a suggestion. And then it gets encumbered by our political system. So it goes, their recommendation makes its way to the EPA administrator. And then, you know, he has to decide, well, what can he sell to the president? The president decides what can he sell to Congress. And what's at stake here is cost. When EPA sets a number, that means every public system in the country has to comply. Now you're talking about billions of dollars. For instance, the arsenic number recently changed. This year it went from 50 parts per billion to 10. What EPA started with was 3. What, and this was President Clinton, offered to Congress was 10. And then that didn't get through his administration. It did come through after the Bush administration was in office.
So these numbers are like cost benefit political compromises that say that they're willing for a certain number of Americans to get cancer because they're going to save money on water treatment?
Yeah, the benefit is measured in deaths per thousand of individuals, basically. And so they look for the number where the death level is acceptable relative to the cost of implementing it nationwide. So for me, I don't even really look at these numbers, the EPA numbers. When we were up higher at nitrates, the nitrate number is 10. What you'll find in homes is women getting bladder cancer at 3. So if I see nitrates over 1 or 2, then we start treating them.
And that has to do with fertilizer runoff?
Yeah.
So that could change at any time if a farm changes what it's doing? And
yeah, although it's, you know, everyone's regulated now, and you could get spills. These numbers are good. Typically, again, it comes back to how reliable are these numbers that the cities put out, and my sense of that is that, you know, these guys are testing some things weekly, some things monthly, some things just every 2 or 3 years, but they're generating thousands of tests to come up with the numbers that we're looking at today.
Okay.
So they're pretty reliable. Some people don't trust government, and I understand that, but I really think that these numbers, unless you have a city where you just feel like, you know, it's crooked, I think we're looking at numbers that are pretty good. Now, we get into some unregulated substances. These guys are mentioning this because the levels are notable. These are more components of the trihalomethanes.
Okay.
And you see this chlorodibromomethane, chloroform, bromodichloromethane. and then whatever this is, dichloroacetic acid, trichloroacetic acid. Those are easily removed, and you definitely do want to remove them. With carbon filters, we'll remove those.
What about sodium?
Sodium?
I have salty water?
That number's pretty low, really, but that's sodium. Yeah, that's typically found in water. You'll find some things almost always in water. Calcium, magnesium, sodium, chloride, sulfate. What we look for here are outrageous numbers, but none of these are outrageous. Your sulfates are fine as well. Sulfates get really high. They cause diarrhea. But when I say high, I'm talking you have 17 parts per million or milligrams per liter, which are the same thing, by the way. If this was in the 180 range or something like that, then we'd be looking at a different treatment alternative. So that's what I see in your water. Just kind of visiting the rest of the report here. Finally, here we go. We see some things about how does water travel? And then they're talking about, you see this page 7, how is Durham's water treated? Raw water is mixed with caustic to adjust the pH. I generally do like to know the pH of drinking water, and they typically don't list it. Typically, a city won't let it get too far out of line, but you'll note here that they're adding alum, and it says and or ferric chloride to coagulate particles. Alum, there's some association between alum and Alzheimer's.
Alum is in aluminum?
Yeah. You could call the city, and they would counter me on that. But that's my opinion that there's some data that shows a correlation, and in the long run, that technology will be replaced with other means of treatment. There's no way to remove that other than if we were to use reverse osmosis on your water. Which, looking at your water is not generally the direction I would go in.
Why not?
Well, everything's a trade-off. And, reverse osmosis has a couple of disadvantages. One is that if you take water that's, neutral or slightly alkaline, it'll actually make the water acidic. It will lower the pH. The pH of your blood is about 7.4. Well, it is 7.4. And so one of the biggest stresses for health is acidic fluids, coffee, Coca-Cola, soda pop. Besides the sugar component, it's the American diet consisting of acidic food and drink, lowering the pH of the body, making the body more vulnerable to disease. And that, I mean, there are some doctors, physicians who make the case that the pH of the body is the most important factor for fighting off disease. I don't know if that's true, but it certainly ranks right up there. So I try to avoid RO as a treatment unless I have to. And in your case, what I would recommend, I mean, we haven't talked about your goals, but for a kitchen system, I would use my three-stage kitchen defender, with the first stage would be KDF and catalytic carbon. The second stage would be a fluoride reduction. And then the third stage would be carbon block. So we're removing the, we're really targeting the chloramines and the chlorine in the first stage with a, you know, heavy duty combination of treatments. And then we're going to reduce, not remove, but reduce the fluoride in the second stage and any other metals that may be present, although they did not show up on your report. And then in the third stage, polish the water with a carbon block to get at the trihalomethanes and the haloacetic acids and any herbicides or pesticides that may be in your water. That's the way I would do it.
Okay. And in terms of baths and showers, do you think the water quality is okay, or should we put a shower head something or other?
I would put a KDF shower head on at a minimum. You're looking at $50. But I'll be honest with you, you know, that the KDF is only partially effective at removing chloramines. The way to, and you do get about half of your consumption of chlorine and chloramine a day is from the shower. When you're in the shower, it's, you're both absorbing it through your skin, and then as the water hits the floor of the shower, it's turning into a gas, and so you're breathing it. Then you're looking at a whole house system as the best way to treat it, and in that case, I'd look at my Urban Defender, which is a whole house system that I, where I can use catalytic carbon and KDF again. And how many people are in your home?
Four humans, a dog, and a hamster.
And no fish?
No.
One of the warnings about chloramines is when cities switch, they send out a note saying that your fish won't be able to live in the city water anymore, and you need a different source, but it's safe for people. So those are the things that I would think about if I were you and talk over with the family. You've got some choices. That three-stage kitchen defender, you're looking at $285 plus shipping. Shower head, $50. The Urban Defender with catalytic carbon, the high-flow version is $1,560. I precede that with a 5-micron filter for $117, again, to protect the equipment. And then there'd be shipping on top of that, which in this your case would be a couple hundred dollars. Would come by truck. I have these made in California.
And who installs it?
Any plumber. I provide phone support. Very easy to install. Good, easy written directions. Some homeowners install them themselves, really. It's plumbing in and out, pre-programmed. On the Urban Defender, pre-programmed valve or meter.
And for the kitchen defender, it's just it's three things that sit under the sink?
Three cylinders under the sink. Water's served through a separate faucet. Continue to use your regular faucet for washing dishes. But I would cook and drink with this water.
Uh-huh.
And then if you didn't want to remove the fluoride, if you wanted to leave that in, you could even go with the two-stage kitchen defender for $190, and you'd get, we'd be removing the chlorine, the chloramine, and these chlorination byproducts.
Is there anything else that gets through besides the fluoride that I might not want?
Nothing that I'm seeing listed. You do have surface water. There's not much discussion on page 7. They talk about it a little bit. It sounds like the biggest issue, probably due to the weather, is this bacteria, and that's why they heavily dose the water with the chloramine.
Mm-hmm.
But if there were herbicides and pesticides showing up, they would be listed here, and I'm not seeing them.
Okay, and how long would the system last?
System should last for, you know, many years. I mean, you want to pick a number, I'd say 10 or 12 or 15. Lots of equipment will fall apart before then. The Urban Defender, the media will last for about 3 years. And then you, in your case, because your chloramine levels are so high, and then you would have your plumber back, and he would take the system apart, and you'd replace the media at a cost of about $400 for materials. The Kitchen Defender, I would replace the filters annually, and if you got the three-stage system, you'd be looking at 26 plus 21 plus 12, $59 in annual replacement costs.
Wow. I had in my old home, I had a one canister that was like $120 every time. I had to do it twice a year.
Yeah, probably a large carbon block filter, I'm just guessing, but that's very common. Carbon block is very effective, but the water really has moved beyond the ability of carbon block to be effective by itself, whereas the industry just hasn't really kept up.
Now, one of the things I see, like at the supermarket where they'll have the store, they'll have a bottled water station, like, you know, one of the companies that ships a Lexan 5-gallon bottle.
Uh-huh.
That there's a problem with the filters, that they just sit there and that they become breeding grounds for stuff. Is there any truth to that, or is it just a marketing trick?
Typically, those systems in grocery stores are like little vending machines. Typically, they have carbon filters, reverse osmosis, and ultraviolet light, and they're just treating city water. So one, you can do that at home. But two, carbon by itself has been shown to provide a media that bacteria grows on. That's been proven. These little filters, and it's another problem with reverse osmosis, that they can become breeding grounds for bacteria, and you have to just clean them periodically, you know, clean them out. One of the things I like about KDF, and one of the reasons I use it a lot, is it creates a little electrical charge in the water, 0.04 millivolt. It's ionization. And while I wouldn't say that's antibacterial, bacteria can't grow in that environment because they're zapped by the electricity that's generated.
I see. So this system really is kind of a hands-off for a year. No maintenance. I don't have to worry about things. And
yep, that's right. The Kitchen Defender you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hands-off for a year, no maintenance.
Cool. Now, one question about, you said the shower heads. I take showers. Everyone else in my family takes baths. Is there a way to reduce the chlorine and chloramine just from the bath tap?
No. No, you're really looking at a whole house system in that case. That's really your only option. The other thing you can do is run your water really hot and let it sit and stir it even before you get in, and you'll reduce the chlorine and the chloramine because they'll turn into gas. But if a lot of people take baths in the house, then you want to look at a whole house system. I'm looking at this report you sent me from this woman who points out that there's barium, haloacetic acids, and trihalomethanes in your water.
Yeah.
And then something talking about some kind of health facts. Barium. Now, if we were going to try to deal with barium, I'm just reading that. There's a couple ways to do it. Typically, she is recommending reverse osmosis to deal with the barium. It's 0.029 parts per million is what's found on this lab report you sent me. the KDF may remove this or reduce it. I actually don't know that for a fact, because KDF has never been tested for it. There are resin filters that will remove barium, but I don't like them. They're not really reliable. So you could go with reverse osmosis to try to deal with this. I think if it were me, I would still stay with the filter treatment, the kitchen defender kind of thing, and the reason I say that is because of the trade-off. Again, what most water practitioners don't even know, that reverse osmosis lowers the pH. And so it's commonly sold as a solution, oversold in my opinion, and I think that the lowered pH kind of counterbalances the existence of barium. But I, let's see, I don't remember seeing that. I do remember them mentioning it. Let's see, in your city, fluoride. Actually, your city doesn't mention the barium at all. It would show up under these beta, alpha and beta photon emitters. It's not there. So I'm not sure what the source is of her report, if it's even your water, but barium would be listed on the city report if it were there. So I'm not sure what's going on there. So that gives you something to think about, I always suggest people, talk over their decision with the family and let me know if I can help you further.
All right.
And you could turn that off now.